Welcome to the program God and Country, where political, economic, social, current events are discussed in the light of biblical exposition, along with prophecy, doctrine, principles of Christian living, philosophy, and generally anything that helps believers navigate these last days. Our calling in Christ is summed up well in 1 John 3:8. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. And with Christ as our head, we are united with Him in that calling. We are to destroy the works of the devil by the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left. 2 Corinthians 6:7. Now the topic for today's program is the IRS scandal. And although the story broke back in May, this is a story that is continuing to unfold as more facts come to light. And my delay in covering the story has something to do with the fact that since I only do this program once a week, I had to wait until I cleared off other important topics before I could insert this program. But nevertheless, the purpose of this program is not to report to you the news moment by moment. The objective is to take a bird's eye view of events and see what God is teaching us through these things. The IRS scandal is a teachable moment that warns us of what is to come. Let's begin by reviewing what has happened. On May 10th, Lois Lerner, director of the IRS Division of Exempt Organizations, was speaking at an American Bar Association meeting. And a lawyer asked her a question about reports that the IRS targeted conservative Tea Party groups. Lerner answered the question, apologizing for what she called absolutely inappropriate actions by the IRS, and she claimed that the targeting had not been from the top, but by lower-level IRS workers in the Cincinnati office. With Lerner's admission, the news media picked up on the story, and this was the first time the public became aware that the IRS was denying conservative groups tax-exempt status. But insiders had known about this for a while. Tea Party groups had been calling congressmen for the last 2 years, asking them to check up on the IRS's denial of their applications. And that is why the Inspector General was investigating the IRS and why Lois Lerner made an apology. It all began back in 2010, when the Supreme Court ruled on Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission. And in that decision, the courts overturned previous restrictions on private groups spending money on political campaigns. The Democrats were not happy with this ruling because they wanted to keep corporate dollars out of politics because those dollars tend to go toward conservative, pro-business politicians. So Democratic members of Congress went to the IRS asking them to investigate the legitimacy of the tax-exempt status of groups that engage in political activity. We know as a fact that in 2010, Democratic Senator Max Baucus wrote a letter to the IRS commissioner urging the IRS to investigate nonprofit conservative groups. And the line of reasoning is this: if we cannot stop money flowing to conservative causes at the court level, we can stop it at the bureaucratic IRS level. The problem we have with these federal agencies is they have great leeway in implementing law and very little oversight. Congress can pass a law, but it's useless if federal agencies ignore the implementation or twist the meaning. Now, Republican Senator Orrin Hatch and John Kyle wrote to the IRS Commission complaining that the Baucus request would violate First Amendment rights. And they would eventually ask the Treasury Department Inspector General to conduct a review to make sure the IRS was being impartial. And we should note that even though Republican congressmen and senators were warning the IRS about being biased since 2010, the IRS ignored those warnings and continued to profile and target conservative groups. The final report of the Inspector General, due to be released in May, was what Lois Lerner was responding to when she answered the lawyer's question with an apology for the IRS behavior. Now, a few days after Lerner's apology, the Inspector General's report came out. The report verified that the IRS did target groups that had the term Tea Party or Patriot, denying or delaying their tax-exempt status as a 501c4 organization. Now, it must be noted that Lerner apologized before the report came out. And the lawyer who asked Lois Lerner the original question about the IRS targeting these groups has come forward to say that Lois Lerner called her and asked her to pose that question, actually sending her the question in an email. Apparently, Lerner, knowing that the Inspector General report was about to be released, wanted to get ahead of the story with her own narrative. She wanted the explanation to be out there that this was the doing of low-level employees in a Cincinnati office, and she had nothing to do with it. But after the story broke, the news media discovered that this targeting was not coming just from the Cincinnati office, but from other IRS centers, and this was a policy that originated at IRS headquarters, Lois Lerner's department. Now, since this story has broken, many other conservative groups started to come forward saying, hey, the same thing has happened to us. Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, came forward saying that the IRS intimidated his organization with an audit after his ministry ran newspaper ads encouraging support for an amendment against same-sex marriage. The Conservative National Organization for Marriage filed with the IRS its donor list. Then someone at the IRS gave that list to pro-gay marriage organizations so that they could target individuals who donated to the National Organization for Marriage. Mitt Romney was on the list. Giving this information out is illegal, but nobody at the IRS is saying who leaked the list. There are people at the IRS using the power of the IRS to favor gay marriage. In the congressional hearings, conservative groups came forward testifying that they had been targeted. Becky Garrison, who filed for her Tea Party group in Alabama, told the following story in the hearings. Bear with me as I read this testimony. I believe it's important that you hear the exact words. We applied for our 501c4 in October of 2010. Our $850 application fee was cashed 7 days from the date that our application was mailed. We received a letter from Robert Choi, dated November 2, 2010, stating that our application and user fee payment had been received. It stated that we could expect to be contacted within 90 days. However, the IRS did not initiate any contact with us for another 459 days. That was when I received the letter from the Cincinnati office dated February 2, 2012. The letter stated that they could not process our application until we completed the enclosed questionnaire, which requested approximately 90 pieces of additional information about our organization. The questionnaire stated that if the additional information was not returned by February 24th, that our case would be closed. The demand for information in the questionnaire shocked me, as someone who loves liberty and the First Amendment. I was asked to hand over our list of donors, including the amount they gave and the dates on which they gave them. 501c4 organizations do not have to disclose donor information. I knew that. Why didn't they? Among the demands that I found alarming and inappropriate were, they wanted us to identify our volunteers. They wanted to know if any of our donors or volunteers had run or would be running for office in the near future. Remember, this was the 2012 election cycle. They wanted us to identify the office they would be running for. They wanted us to provide detailed contents of all the speeches ever given, the names of all of our speakers, and their credentials. They wanted copies of the written communications and contents of all other forms of communication to any legislative body, even those that represent us. I was very uncomfortable with these questions. My husband and I discussed forfeiting our application. However, within days of reading through the questions, we knew that we were being targeted because fellow Tea Party organizers across the nation were getting the same types of letters and questionnaires. It was then we decided to seek legal counsel. On March 6th, 2012, we retained the counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice to represent us in this matter. 2 weeks later, I received a letter from Lois Lerner asking that I provide the previously requested information. Unquote. So apparently, Lois Lerner was aware of and involved in the targeting. This all began in December 2010, when the higher-ups at the IRS distributed a Be on the Lookout list for groups that use words such as Tea Party, Patriots, or Glenn Beck's 9/12 Project. Any organization whose objective was to address government spending, government debt, or taxes. Any group advocating or lobbying to make America a better place to live. Any group that criticized how the country is being run. Any group that advocated education about the Constitution and Bill of Rights. Any group that focused on challenging Obamacare, or any group that questioned the integrity of federal elections. Then in the processing of their applications, these groups were intimidated by illegal questions. Conservative organizations were required to provide documentations such as contracts and training materials. They asked what books their members were reading and what websites they posted to. They asked the Coalition for Life of Iowa to provide detailed contents of the members of your organization's prayers, and to please explain how all of your activities, including prayer meetings held outside of Planned Parenthood, are considered educational. Please also provide the percentage of time your group spends on prayer groups. Now, does this sound like America or a police state? This is the state, particularly the current Democratic administration, going after its enemies. Now, the immediate response from the liberal media was that the IRS was either A, swamped with too much work because of budget cuts, or B, this targeting was not politically motivated. Was the problem too much work and cuts? Well, since 2010, the IRS did not approve any Tea Party organizations that submitted applications. Yet during the same time, liberal organizations with names like Progressive or Progress received immediate approval. A conservative group called Media Tracker applied to the IRS for tax-exempt status and received no response after 16 months. So the organization's founder applied for tax-exempt status for a group with a liberal-sounding name called Greenhouse Solutions. The application was approved in 3 weeks. So the delay had nothing to do with too many applications and not enough workers. To say that the IRS targeting is not politically motivated means you're either naive or you're dissembling. And it's very obvious that the higher-ups at the IRS were behind all this. The IRS officers in Cincinnati testified that this was too widespread in the organization, too organized for this to have been done by a few rogue IRS employees. Now, the question is, can we tie President Obama and his cabinet to the scandal? I like what Rudy Giuliani said about the whole thing. There doesn't need to be orders from the top. They're all Democrats. They all know what they're supposed to do. Then Giuliani compared it to murder in the cathedral, where the king said, "Who will rid me of this troublesome priest?" Thomas Becket. The king didn't command anyone to murder Thomas Becket, but all the king's men knew what the king wanted done. Now here's the question. Is this IRS scandal really significant, or is it just a tempest in a teapot? Well, on May 5th, President Obama was given a commencement address at Ohio State University. He said, "Unfortunately, you have grown up hearing stories that incessantly warn of government as nothing more than some separate sinister entity that is at the root of all of our problems. Some of these same voices also do their best to gum up the works. They warn that tyranny is always lurking just around the corner. You should reject those voices." Then 1 week later, the following stories break. Two whistleblowers come forward to testify to Congress that the State Department knew about the attacks in Benghazi, but changed the story to make the Obama administration look good before the election. Then the story breaks about the Justice Department secretly monitoring journalists' phone records without following proper legal procedures. And then we discover that the IRS is profiling and targeting conservative groups. So despite what President Obama said, tyranny is always lurking around the corner. If there are not watchdogs snooping into government activities, our freedoms will disappear very quickly because tyranny and despotism is in the nature of man and in his government. The president was in effect telling the graduates of Ohio State to trust government. But we should never trust government. Our founding fathers did not trust government. Distrust of government is the basis for the three branches of government we have today. And that's why we have the freedom of the press. James Madison wrote, "All men having power should be distrusted to a certain degree." And this is because of man's sinful nature. Power and privilege corrupts. And any people given power will abuse that power unless there is accountability. Why does the liberal left trust government? It is a trust on a subconscious level, because they do not believe in human depravity, but in human goodness. And hence, they believe mankind working together in an all-powerful state will accomplish good and never evil. Now, Christians say no. All power must not be concentrated in government, because it will and has always historically resulted in evil. This IRS story is just one more reason to fear and to push back against big government. What the IRS did attacks the very foundation of the American system embodied in the Bill of Rights, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of association. And when the government denies us these rights, it will first come through taxation. The power to tax is the power to control. This is how tyranny happens. Doesn't start overnight. It happens gradually, under the radar. And if nobody notices, then corrupt leaders continue to take away more liberties from the public so as to establish their own power, their own wealth, their own security. Historically, persecution against the righteous has always begun with economic persecution before it turns into physical persecution. Remember in the Gospels? The leadership of Israel tried to use Roman tax policy against Jesus. In Galilee, when they came to Capernaum, those who collect the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the 2 drachma tax?" Matthew 17:24. And the leadership tried to get Jesus in trouble with Rome with the question, "Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to give a poll tax to Caesar or not?" Matthew 22:17. The government has many powers, and one of those powers is the power to tax. That's the God-given right of government. Romans 13:7. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due. And the government is called to be a minister of God to you for good, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil, even using tax policy to hinder evil. Special taxes on liquor or gambling. If you want less of something or some behavior, you tax it. And the government can use tax policy to promote good. Special tax deductions for having children, for adoption, for charitable contributions, home ownership, education. If you want more of something, you don't tax it, but you subsidize it. But woe to the government that forgets its place and begins to do the opposite, rewarding evil and punishing the good. The government becomes an avenger not of evil, but on the good, and when that happens, its days are numbered. I think of Haman in the book of Esther. He talked King Ahasuerus into persecuting the Jews. Esther chapter 3, then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, "There is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all of the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those of all other people, and they do not observe the king's law. So it's not in the king's interest to let them remain. If it please the king, let it be decreed that they be destroyed." Now, this was not using tax policy, but it's an example of how evil people use the power of government to persecute those they don't like. those with a biblical, theistic, moral, Christian worldview. There's another example that comes to mind in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6. The commissioners began trying to find grounds of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. Then these government officials created a law that would single out and primarily persecute Daniel. They sold the law as being generic for the well-being of the entire empire. But there were ulterior motives in the law. And this happens in politics all the time. You think that the law is about saving the environment, but the real agenda is to take down businesses. You think the agenda is fairness in education, but it's really about eliminating that offensive Christian teaching. So this is why the IRS scandal is so alarming. We know that evil people use government to persecute the good. And we know where this kind of selective persecution leads. We see it in Syria, in Russia, in Iran. How governments move toward tyranny once they have the power to stomp out their opposition through bureaucratic law, profiling, taxing, targeting, etc. Now, given the abuse inherent in the government's power to tax, the founders of our country, coming off of their experience with despotic European governments, wrote into our Constitution a provision which prohibited the government from passing a personal income tax. Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3, representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the states. Clause 4, no capitation or other direct tax shall be laid unless it is proportioned to the census or enumeration herein before directed to be taken. Now, the idea was that the states would tax their people as they wished, and then the states would pay a lump sum from state taxes to the government. Now, what was the purpose for this? First, it gave the state power to collect taxes from the individual. The federal government would not have the power to know everything about you, your family, your income, through a taxing organization. Second, if the states were in control of taxes for the federal government, the states would have a greater leverage over the federal government than the individual. And there would also be competition between the states. Third, it took the power away from the federal government to discriminate between people and their activities. Like the kings of Europe, who used to tax the people they liked and give tax breaks to their friends. Now, during the Civil War, the federal government instituted an income tax. But soon after, the Supreme Court declared it unconstitutional. The only way the federal government was going to get an income tax was by a constitutional amendment. And in 1913, the progressives sold the public on the 16th Amendment, allowing for a federal income tax. It reads, Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes on income from whatever source derived, without apportionment among the several states, and without regard to any census or enumeration. Now, thoughtful patriots today rightly claim that we're now getting what we deserve. We thought our forefathers were wrong in giving us safeguards against the federal income tax. So we nullified their counsel, and look what we've got. A bloated government bureaucracy that is protecting its own existence and its own job security, a $16 trillion debt, a tax organization that everyone fears. Apparently, our forefathers knew what they were doing. We would be better off if the power to tax was divided among 50 states. But this IRS scandal is not just significant because of constitutional issues or legal issues. It is significant because it shows the moral rot in our culture. Evil is being called good, and good is being called evil. Now, years ago, the IRS would use tax policy to go after unacceptable behavior, organized crime, prostitution, communism. People like Al Capone, who could not be caught in any other crime, were prosecuted for tax evasion. You know, a righteous king is called to make life hard on the wicked. Proverbs 20:26, a wise king winnows the wicked and drives a threshing wheel over them. So righteous leaders may use the tax code against the enemies of righteousness. That's not being unfair. Christians are not saying that the government has no role to play in policing who gets tax-exempt status and who does not. But what happens if the definition of righteousness changes? What is now considered righteousness by too many people is abortion, homosexuality, homosexual marriages, socialism. So if the liberals at the IRS sincerely think that they are crusaders for moral justice. The real lesson behind this IRS scandal is that this is just another sign of our religious apostasy. The IRS gives tax-exempt status toward charitable organizations. But now the world is redefining the word charitable, so that if you're against certain liberal policies, you're no longer charitable, and you will lose your tax-exempt status. Are you familiar with the Supreme Court case, Bob Jones University versus the United States? Back in the early 1980s, Bob Jones University, a Christian university in South Carolina, did not allow interracial dating. The IRS took away their tax-exempt status because the IRS claimed that they no longer qualified as a charitable organization. The Supreme Court decided in favor of the IRS. Now, I don't agree with the policy of Bob Jones University, but I disagree with how the government settled the case. Without an actual law being passed by Congress, the IRS could define what is charitable. And the day is coming that tax-exempt status will be taken away from those who do not support gay marriage. And this is what has happened in the recent scandal. The law reads that a 501c4 organization receives tax-exempt status if they promote social welfare. Well, what is social welfare? In the minds of the liberal officials at the IRS, conservative groups were not promoting social welfare. Now, the lesson here is to note how persecution begins. Not by some deliberate, overt law, but the lines between what is morally right and wrong become blurred. Finally, let me conclude with this thought. The IRS scandal is a harbinger of what is to come. Right now, we have a few conservative leaders and news outlets that have called the IRS into account. But what happens when those groups become so small that they are no longer heard? Right now, the Senate is not holding any hearings against the IRS scandal. Why? Because the Democrats are in the majority in the Senate, and the IRS was targeting the enemies of the Democrats. And therefore, the left is downplaying and ignoring the scandal. What if in this last election, the Democrats gained the majority in the House? There would be no hearings against the IRS. Once the left can reach a point where their opposition is marginalized, they will be able to fully shut down the conservative media and then use the power of government to codify into bureaucratic law all sorts of ungodly policy, supposedly for the good of the majority. And that day is soon approaching. But fear not. For God tells us time and time again in Scripture that He will destroy all of His enemies. He will terrify them in His fury. There is no counsel that stands against the Lord. The Lord will vindicate His people. He will have compassion on His servants when He sees that their strength is gone. And I expect that will be the coming of our Lord. I trust that you have found salvation in Jesus Christ, and you're ready for that day. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. Contact us through our website, godandcountryradio.org. There you can listen to this program again or other past programs. I love getting emails from you with comments, questions, suggestions. So go to godandcountryradio.org. That's godandcountryradio, spell it out, .org. And I hope you tune in next week. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we see again another news event that reminds us that you are true and every man is a liar. That the kingdom of man is evil, and the kingdom we should aspire to is your kingdom founded upon righteousness. Lord Jesus, come quickly and show the world your power and your righteousness. Save your people. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.